things that'll keep me loving you.
And with your permission, may I list a few.
Back on Downtown, our next guest is a singer, an actress. She has had million sellers, gold records. She's a member of the R&B Music Hall of Fame, and she's got a wonderful new EP out called Let There Be Loved. That's a little taste of it. We are thrilled to be joined this afternoon by Frida Payne. Frida, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
What a wonderful new album this is. And for people who don't know, very much a return to your roots. Your first album, After the Lights Go Down Low, and much more. Actually, your first couple of albums were jazz albums.
Oh, yeah. The last one I did was on a label called Mac Avenue, which is a jazz label. And that was in 2014. The album was called Come Back to Me, Love, and that was I was very proud of that one too. And this one is EP, and I'm so proud of this because I was able to do some duets with some very prominent and wonderful artists.
Well, you did as well. We heard just a little bit, and we'll play more later, of that great duet on one of my favorite songs of all time, They Can't Take That Away From Me. And you and Johnny Mathis sound so great together.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, it's a dream come true. I always wanted to do a duet with Johnny Mathis, and I got one of my dreams and my prayers answered.
Well, the album produced by Rodrigo Rios, you're a co-producer on this as well, and you rounded up some wonderful talent, a terrific version with Kurt Elling of Our Love Is Here to Stay.
Oh, God, I love Kurt Elling. I think right now he's flying high. He's one of the best male jazz vocalists that we have around. And, of course, my album, by the way, was executive produced by James Michael Getz, and of course, and Rodrigo Rios as well. But I am very, very. Oh, I love the. So you like the Kurt Elling duet?
Oh, that's fantastic! I love the song anyway. But you two are just so fine together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, you would have thought we were right there together in the same studio. He was in Chicago, and I was in L.A.
Wow. Well, you know, you also sound like you're having way too much fun teaming up with Dee Dee Bridgewater on Moanin' and Doodlin'.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. Dee Dee is also a fine, you know, jazz vocalist, very fine. And we both have had long careers. And I just loved being, you know, able to sing with her. She's one of my special favorites as well, you know, as far as female jazz vocalists go.
And great work with Kenny Lattimore as well. And then I love Just You. It's All I Need is Just You singing It's All Right With Me. That is just wonderful.
It's All Right With Me. Yeah, that's was that a Cole Porter tune?
Yeah.
And so they're all standards. And, of course, the Kenny was so much fun because he's very good at improvisation. At vocally, he's a vocal artist. I put it that way. He doesn't stick right to the melody. He knows how to like go in and out of areas, and he makes it everything like sounds good and is in tune and right on time.
We're talking with Frida Payne on Downtown. The new EP is called Let There Be Love. It's available now. And I want to go back a little bit. Am I right that it was your Uncle Johnny's record collection that introduced you to the world of jazz?
Yeah. I was like 4 years old. I was four and five. And I remember being like this really young, young baby. And he had a record player, and he would play those records. And, you know, back then, that was when, because I back then, that was in the 40s. And, like, records would break. If you dropped them, they would break. And I guess most of your listening audience probably have no idea. They don't know anything about that. But he also not only had jazz, like he had Duke Ellington, Lionel Hampton, And also, he had Rachmaninoff. He had classical records, too, Rachmaninoff, Mozart, Bach. And that's how I became, I was introduced to the world of classical music. And then, of course, my mother started me out with some piano lessons when I was like six. I was either six or seven, but I remember her taking me down to, in Detroit. I'm from Detroit. I was born and raised in Detroit. And she took me down to the Detroit Conservatory of Musical Arts, which was, the building was just located right by the campus of Wayne State. And I started taking piano lessons. And that by the time I got to be about 11 or 12, I started exploring other musical outlets. Like, for instance, I would buy a George and Ira Gershwin songbook, Cope, Lorenz Hart and Rogers, Rogers and Hart. And I would start teaching myself standards. And that's what started everything for me.
Now, right there in Detroit, you couldn't avoid the influence of Motown Records. And is it true that Berry Gordy tried to sign you when you were in your teens?
Yeah, but I have to tell you, back then, there was no Motown. This was pre-Motown days. I was 13 or 14, and he wanted to sign me because I had kind of like, I'd been singing around Detroit. I was winning talent contests on TV, and he heard about me, so he wanted to sign me when I was 14 years old. Motown wasn't formed then. We're talking about, this was in the 50s. And this might have been, I think by that time, I think around 57 or 56 or 57 when he wanted to sign me. So that's what happened back then. He and my mother couldn't come to terms. He wrote songs for me as well. He wrote four songs, and we recorded them at a place called, a studio. It was called United Sound. And United Sound was located on West Grand Boulevard, which is the same street that Hicksville is located on, which is now the Hicksville Museum, which was the Motown's original recording studio. And United Sound was located almost like maybe in the same block or a block away from Hicksville. That's ironic. And so all that stuff happened afterwards. We're going back, and I'm telling you history, and this is a little bit of history. So, yeah.
Well, and speaking of writing songs for you, and not many get to be able to say this, Duke Ellington wrote a song for you.
Oh, yeah. That was when I did my first jazz album. And that was, I think was it Sweet September?
Blue Piano, right?
No, Blue Piano. Blue Piano. Da 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 da. Yeah, that sounds more like Duke's voicing, I would say. I auditioned for Duke Ellington when I was 17 years old. And that was in 1961. And he wanted to sign me to a 10-year contract after debating, and our lawyer, who was also a friend of the family, and going over the contract, wanting to change certain things. He didn't want to change anything, so that never happened. And then, of course, I was 17, and my mother would have had to go on the road with me. And, back then, that's when Duke Ellington was traveling a lot on the road with his band and on the bus.
Well, you were singing in New York, working with Quincy Jones. You began acting as well. You understudied Leslie Uggams on Broadway and Hallelujah Baby.
Yeah. Right. I understudied. This was 1967, and I was hired to be Leslie's understudy, and I was the only understudy that ever got to really do the show. She had had two understudies during the run of that show. And one left. The first one she had was Emily Yancey, and she left because she got booked to do Hello, Dolly! With Pearl Bailey and Cab Calloway. And then the other one was Norma Donaldson, And then I was hired, and 3 weeks after I was hired, I got to go on. I went on one, the first time I went on, I got a standing ovation, and then I went on another five times after that.
I believe it was 1969, an old friend from junior high school, middle school, reached out to you, Lamont Dozier, best known, of course, as the great Motown songwriting team of Holland, Dozier, Holland, and had a song that he thought would be perfect for you. Well, and the rest is pop and R&B history. Can you talk a little bit about the making of Band of Gold?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I was signed to Invictus Records in 1968. And then in 69, we started recording a lot of songs, which became my first album entitled Band of Gold. And it was Holland, Dozier, Holland. It just so happens that I knew the guys before they became Holland, Dozier, and Holland. I was in middle school with Lamont, and for 3 years, and we were in the same homeroom. And then I knew Brian Holland. We had a class in high school at the Central High in Detroit, and then Eddie Holland, who was the oldest, I had met him through Berry Gordy during that same period when I told you about Berry recording me and wanting to manage me. I had met Eddie during that period. That's how far back he went with Berry. And so it was almost like coming home when I signed with them. It was like I just felt good about it. And because I'd had a background, I'd previously been a cabaret jazz singer, and had already worked, you know, recorded After the Lights Go Down Low, which was recorded in 1963. I had done that album already, and in New York, and then I did another album in New York. It was called How Do You Say I Don't Love You Anymore on the MGM label, when I was being managed by Clarence Avant. And then I what happened was Brian Holland, I was living in New York at the time. Brian Holland happened to be with a friend of his who said, Freda Payne lives next door to us. She's like in the next high-rise building. And so she called me, Tomiko Jones, and she said, Freda, one of your old friends is here, wants to say hello. And it was Brian Holland. And he said, why don't you come over? Are you doing anything? I said, no, not right at the minute. So I went over and we talked. And he said, are you on a record label now? I said, well, I was on ABC Paramount at Impulse, but that contract ran out. And I'd already fulfilled my obligation to them. And he said, well, are you being managed? I said, not at the moment. No, I had just finished being managed with someone for 5 years, Joe Scandori, who managed Don Rickles and a lot of other people as well. Don Rickles, Fat Henry, Pat Cooper. And I said, I'm free and clear. So he said, why don't you come with us? We just left Motown and we just started our own label. And so the rest was history.
It sure was a multi-million selling single. Several others that followed, including the huge hit Bring the Boys Home, really one of the first anti-war songs to do well on the pop and R&B charts as well. But your voice sounds so wonderful. The new album, the EP, is entitled Let There Be Love, and just great, great music. Classic songs, but given such a fresh and wonderful new feel by this great production. Freda, love to hear your voice again. The new album is great, and we so much appreciate you making some time for us here this afternoon.
Oh, I'm so appreciative. Thank you so much. And, of course, we have to say, give a lot of credit to the arranger, Gordon Goodwin. Mm. He did all those arrangements and all the musicians who played on the session. It was a dream. It was a labor of love, and it's appropriately titled Let There Be Love, because it was done with love.
Well, that comes through on every note. Freda, it's wonderful to talk with you. Thank you for being with us. We wish you much success with the album, and be well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Freda Payne with us here on Downtown.